So, I ask for your support and encouragement should my mind start being just a little more bedtimey rather than sort of the perky time of day I'm typically teaching, which is in the morning or afternoons. That said, I'm really, really glad to be here, and thank you, Marnie, for the kind introduction. And I wanted to share focus mostly on some practice today, to come together in community to share some gentle Qigong forms. And I've chosen five that represent the five energies, phases, elements, and ones that I hope will feel accessible to you, ones that you might even just pick one of these five sometimes throughout your day and use it as a resource, should you like it. Some of the forms some of you may have done in the past, or if you're new to Qigong, all of the forms will be new. Maybe some of you will have done all of them before. And after we get into the practice, or after the completion of that, I'll speak a little bit about the subject: settled body, steady heart. And as a sangha or a community of shared practice, there'll be also time at the end for some questions, comments, and reflections from you. And I look forward to that because sometimes that's the most engaged and lively aspect of just being, in community and really having a chance to interact more. To begin, wherever you are, you're sitting, you're lying down, your eyes are closed, maybe your camera's off. Just take a moment to sense where it is that you're at. Where is the body? Where is your form of body? What is the way in which it feels present, animated? And what are the qualities that you might notice? Some of you are starting, I can see, to stretch. Maybe there's you're coming into body and some niggles, some sensitivity to places that feel a bit jammed or tight. Maybe places that feel, relief that there's some coming home to, some acknowledging, some being with. But in choosing the title, Settled Form, rather than choose body as the title, form, what does that conjure for you? What is the form of body like? Or the form of what you conceive of as this body, these energies. Is there some space for receptivity or attunement to the form that's here, the shape, the vessel? And the first movement that we're going to do is very simple, but it can be very therapeutic. The two hands, one, then the other, they move from the upper collarbones and then slide down the center of your torso, the center of the chest, down to the abdomen, lower belly. And just take a few moments to attune to and sense the touch of the hands, this area. I'll stand so you can see it a little bit better. It's called the Yin Conception Meridian Rinmai. You can do this if you're lying down. You can do this if you're standing or sitting. And observing for yourself just the quality of contact, touch, sensation. This is also the pathway or part of the pathway of our enteric nervous system, our vagus nerve that starts in the brain and trails down from the sides of the neck and then into the area of the heart and down into the gut. Some of you have a big smile when you hear that. It's nice to see. And just sensing, what's the form and touch like here? And then what does this touch and this movement down offer for the energies of heart and of mind? Oh, are you smiling because my kitty pushed his way into my room? The door I thought was closed. Just one moment. Lucky, you want out. He'll be a wonderful companion, but he'll also want in and out, as cats often do. So here we go. Real life Zoom teaching. And then rest your hands down near towards the lower abdomen, the lower dantian. And take a moment, even after just a simple, intentional contact. What is the form of body like now? What are the energies like and the shape of experience? What does that feel like? And then I'd invite you, if you are sitting, either to remain sitting, and the practices that we do can all be done from the comfort of your chair. If that feels like today, that's going to be more settling, more nourishing, more compassionate towards experience. It could also be that you come to stand, and if you stand, standing with the feet about as wide as your shoulders, so slightly wider than the hips. And the knees a little bit bent should you come to stand. For those who choose to sit throughout the practice, to sit in a way that gives the sit bones firm contact with the chair or maybe the floor, and then an opportunity for kind of an upright, rooted upright posture. And with the hands resting then onto the lower dantian, inviting the feeling and the felt sensation of breathing to go low, if possible, even to where the hands are resting, to sense and feel the breath in your lower dantian. To embody and make space for a looser, more receptive quality in your physical center. And very often, the form of our body and our connection to body can feel a bit rattled, can feel a bit disconnected, can feel agitated, restless, flat, dull. Or maybe just, again, we're disconnected, so we're not even quite sure what the sense of body is at any moment or right now. And if any of those states apply or they feel present for you, let the palms turn out and just check in with yourself. If there's a restlessness, agitation, or just a little murkiness, not quite sure, or a heaviness, a flatness. Use your hands with the palms out to the side to lift upwards, breathing naturally, and collecting these qualities, gathering what might also be imbalancing for the form of body, restlessness, agitation, dullness, disconnection. And once the arms gather and the palms are overhead, point your middle fingers towards each other, palms towards the earth, and still with a natural breath, descend the hands and palms down with the intention to relinquish, to set down these tendencies or clear them out of the form of body. And as you move the hands down and move this, setting these things down, you can imagine giving them back to earth, which can compost it. The restlessness or the dullness, the disconnect. And then turn the palms out and gather a sense of calm or presence, kind of a brightness, an alertness. An energy that feels bright and clear, calm and clear. And fill this into the form of your body. Something that feels like it settles agitation, or it brightens a little dullness, or it just gives you presence, reestablishes connection. Fill this into the form and shape of your body. And then turn the palms out once more, gathering what you've just filled. And use the intention to seal this in, sealing this into the body, the form. So that it abides more fully and soaks in more into the blood, the bones, the tissue of your body, the energy flowing through the body. And then bring the hands back to rest onto the lower abdomen, the lower dantian. So as we go through, we're going to just do some movements that support some contact. We started with this one, the stroking down of the central channel, the Rin Mai. And again, you can do this sitting or continue standing. If you've been standing for a while, just adjust your feet. But then going down the inner arms and moving the hands from the shoulders down the inner arms to the hands and fingers. And continuing that few rounds, feeling for the flow of energy, which is here connected to the heart and its helpers, the small intestine, triple heater, the heart protector, the pericardium. Do the other side. You also have meridians, which are rivers of energy that flow through the body of the lungs and the large intestine. Or actually, right here, it's just the yin organs. So I should say just the lungs, the heart protector. I'm just using soft touch to brush down the inner arms and sense the flow of energy. And then coming to the legs, If you're seated, you can just reach to wherever is comfortable, maybe stick your feet out a little more and reach towards the inner arches and inner ankles and flow upwards. If you're standing, feel free to bend the knees as feels appropriate to sweep upwards along the inner thighs and legs up towards the groins and up towards the lower ribs. And this flow of energy is connecting to other organ meridian systems and energies of water, the kidneys, of wood, the liver, and of earth, the spleen. And just do a couple more movements up like that, just gentle stimulation. A form of our bodies is considered to be filled with these meridian flows, organ meridian associated energies. And then pause and get a sense, having really gently stimulated many of the inner arm, inner leg, central inner channel pathways, what that sense is like. And then the yang meridians flowing from the fingers. We're just going to do not tapping, but just a more vigorous rub and sweep up. Rub and sweep up the backs of the arms, rubbing up, and then sweeping. These are the yang meridians for fire and metal. Your large intestine, small intestine, something called your triple heater. Do the other side. It's a little more vigorous, a little more movement, rubbing back and forth as you go up the arm the first time. Just getting a little bit of invigoration going and flow. And then sweeping up. This is the direction of flow for those meridians. And same for your legs, the center legs, the center outer legs. Just kind of do a little vigorous up and down movement, down past the thighs, the knees, the outer shins, down to your feet. And then sweep down a few times. This is the stomach, part of the stomach meridian. And then the outer legs, same thing. You can do this sitting or standing, but a little more vigorous rub along the outer legs, down the outer thighs, past the outer knees, the outer ankles, to the outer feet. And then a couple sweeps down. And then lastly, from your kidneys and lower back, again, just a bit of a rub going down the backs of your legs, center of the back thighs, backs of the knees, a little vigorous rub down past the calves, ankles, to the outer feet. That's part of your, the last one was gallbladder. This is part of your urinary bladder, sweeping down. And then here's the fun part. Everything's kind of fun anyway. I think you're having fun so far. I'm in. So you'd use this as part of your yang governing vessel. Just a little rub with the tips of your fingers up the center of your scalp, down the back center of your head, the two side or the center of your neck, where you can actually use your hand. One of your hands and just rub side to side. And then since it's coming into flu and cold season, this point here, the big knobbly bit, is a really great one for immunity. Just rubbing that, give it a good, vigorous, comfortable, vigorous massage. And then wherever you can feel your spine, just feel the spine and then give it a little vigorous side to side or up or down massage. Feels really nice. Go down to the lower back, the sacrum area. And then you don't want to go too far, otherwise it'll just get a little weird. Just go to where it's comfortable to rub. And then just a few general sweeps. This is the yang governing vessel that we've just done. And then the last one is your belt meridian. So this is Dai Mai. This one, the front channel we started with, the back channel that we just did, these are part of the eight extraordinary meridians. And they're like the deeper reservoirs. So your belt, use your hands, massage the front. Use the backs of your hands, right, to do the back. And then just kind of a general sweep. And then here's another fun part. Having stimulated, massaged, invigorated the organ meridian system, any debris generated by that, you brush off. Flick it off your fingers if you want. Yeah. And then you wash your face. This is a nice one. If you've got earrings on, I recommend just being careful, but you use your index finger and your thumb. Your index finger is on the inside of the earlobe, the thumb is on the outside, the backside. And you use the fingers to gently pinch and pull your earlobes. Yeah, it feels really nice. Yeah. Good. And then you can either use the heels of your hands or the knuckles of your fists. You can see which one you like better from the ears to the jaw. You can try both. And then your index finger, oh, sorry, your thumb outer edge goes up and down the sinus passageways. Like this. And then you shower with your fingers tapping your head. And release. Sitting or standing or lying now, notice the form and shape of body. Sensing where sensations are, the temperature of body is. And then bring your hands back to rest. So that was a series of Am Mo Gong Qi Gong self massage. really nice just to do first thing in the morning, last thing before bed, as a way to take care of the flow of energy through the form of body. Very accessible, and very embodying, very useful in bringing kind of a sensitivity into the present moment. And I invite you to notice and sense what the effect is on heart mind. What the orientation and quality of heart mind feels like now. Heart. So I mentioned we're going to do five forms, one for each of the phases or energies. And since we're in the northern hemisphere, at least, we're in the season of autumn, and that associates with metal. We'll start with one for metal, which connects mostly to the lungs, but also to the large intestine. So this one, it's called opening and closing the gates. You can open your hands as you breathe in, and then close your fingers together as you breathe out. Just try that first part. Breathing in. Breathing out. Right. This is basically mirroring the action of respiration of the lungs, right? And also of the cells. They expand and then they condense. And when they finish a metabolic process, your cells, they rest. So I invite you to exhale and pause. Before you inhale again, maybe even pause there before exhaling. Now, taking this movement and beginning to expand it in a way that feels like it's maybe two-thirds of your effort level, or less if you feel any discomfort today, but the elbows bend back, breathing in. And then the arms will cross and your body will contract into a C shape as you breathe out. I'm showing this version standing, breathing in. But I'll also show it now sitting. If you are sitting, you can do the exact same thing in a chair or on the ground. It's called opening and closing the gates, and we'll just continue for a few more rounds like this together, creating space in the fronts of the lungs and the chest and ribs, exhaling and rounding to create space in the back, lungs, chest, and ribs. Now let the movement feel natural, but also intentional. Right? They're not mutually exclusive. They can inform each other. Naturalness, but an intention to pause at the end of your out breath, an intention to gently move the body into a specific shape. And then from that shape into another form and shape that the smaller level is what happens in the cells and the lungs, at a larger level happening in the body. And if you want to continue expanding that, the expansion and the contraction, also patterns in nature, opening and closing of a fern, a flower petal, the expanding and contracting energies of seasons. And one more together as you breathe in, and then when you breathe out, pause again in the closed form, the contracted ball-shaped form, pause. And then imagine yourself as a flower or a fern that begins to unfurl as you stand or open. And complete the form. In the completing of the form, there's an invitation always to do in Chinese what's called shougong or shou. And shou means to collect or harvest. So as the hands draw up, gathering and collecting, harvesting any kind of benefit or property of that practice, it feels like it can be the fruits. You can store it in, collect, bring it in to support that settling and that steadying of form and heart. Hands and rest back to the lower dantian. From the fall, the autumn, we move into winter. And winter in the Chinese understandings relates to the water energies and phases. And the main organ meridian system for water are your kidneys. The kidneys produce a lot of important hormones and enzymes and things that affect our bone density and calcium absorption. So this form is actually very simple, but really interesting and effective. All it is a shift forward onto the balls of the feet where the start of the kidney meridian externally is. It's called kidney one. It's the center of the balls of the feet. So you shift forward onto there, you lift your heels a little bit or more and lower them down. And you get a little bit of a bounce through the form of your body, and you also cause, if you're wearing your hair in a bun, you cause the bun to come out. So please excuse me for a moment while I redo my hair. But if you're sitting, I was thinking about this, like you can still do that practice and actually lift and lower your heels, but kind of sense the movement moving up through your body into the bones. And the main idea here is to really send some signal and response through the body's bones. So even though I'm working on my hair still, you can begin and do 36 liftings and lowerings of your heels. Movements to support sinuses. Let me look at that question later, Lisa, if we've got time. Yeah. So about 36 of them. Go at a steady pace. Yeah. Not rushed, not too slow, so that you're, in a a foreign film from back in the 80s, but not too fast. But really feeling the resonance through your bones, very good for helping things like osteoporosis sometimes. Just kind of a little bounce is very therapeutic for bone density. The weight centered and intention centered on the balls of the feet, the center of them. Try not to go too forward and back, but just stay kind of upright so it's a light lift and lower. Nothing too much in a sway. The one thing I yet probably will never master or be capable of doing is teaching, talking, and counting. So I have no idea how many I've done, but hopefully you're counting. I'm just going to do 10 more. Okay. Yeah. I think most of you are done. So just noticing when you complete however many you've done, The numbers are ballparks. Excuse me. But sensing, what does the movement leave as an imprint, or what sensations can you be with in the wake of that practice? And harvesting, gathering. Any benefits, any qualities that may further support this embodiment, this caring for the bones, the kidneys, the water energies, filling that into the form of body. And then resting the hands back to the lower dantian. From winter, we move to spring, and from water rather, water feeds wood. Wood is the energy associating with our liver, as also our gallbladder next to it. So just helpful maybe to know, maybe you remember we did this vigorous movement up and down the leg, which was part of the gallbladder meridian. And then we did come down the inner legs. Part of that inner leg pathway is the liver. It moves up from the ground up, and the gallbladder energy moves down. So this is just called a simple name. It's called side bending, stretching the liver meridian through side bending. You can do this when sitting as well. And if you're sitting, you can also do it lying down. You can just kind of lie down and move the body like that. If you're sitting, just taking the feet forward a little bit more so that you can comfortably reach to the outer legs or towards them. You don't have to reach all the way. And then up the inner leg. So I'll talk you through it if you're standing. I'll mirror you as well. So my left, your right arm will extend up, and the two arms will reach up. You're gonna do a gentle side bend just where it's comfortable. Take the hands towards the outer left leg, touching down. And then natural breathing, just slowly start with your hands down the outer leg, sliding down all the way to the outer foot. Then come to the inner leg and use your hands to trace up the inner leg. It's part of your the liver meridian. When you get there, you rise. You turn your palms towards the right. You reach. Natural breathing. Don't worry too much about when to breathe in, when to breathe out. Just keep a natural in-breath, out-breath, maybe a pause at the end of your out-breath going down the outer right leg. And come up the inner right leg with your hands tracing. From there, you rise up. Your palms turn towards your left. You side bend gently. Hands flow down towards the outer leg, and you're stimulating gently through the sides of your body, both the right side and then the right outer leg. Is that meridian stimulation? Then you come up the inner left leg. Slide your hands up. Turn your palms that way, which is your right. Tip towards your right. Bring your hands in towards the side leg. Gradually go down. I'll demonstrate this sitting as well. And you're coming up the inner leg. Up the inner leg, up towards the sky. Turn your two palms towards your left, reaching over towards the side, bringing the hands down towards the outer left leg, and then gently gliding the hands down. Coming around to the inner leg again and up. So the liver meridian pathway. This is for wood energy, about like stable flexibility, rooted growth. Coming to the outer leg, sliding down. Coming up. Up, and do one more each side. Sliding over, palms towards your left, hands down to your outer left hip and leg. I'm mirroring you and going down the outer leg to the foot. Sensing the form of body, sensing the energies of touch. Bringing your hands up towards the sky from that left leg side. Turn your palms toward the right, and this will be the final time. Drawing down. Coming up. Now I'm all confused. Did we start going that way? Does anyone remember? I don't remember. I think we started going this way, right? Yeah. So I'm good. So we ended up here. And pause, take it in, sensing. And harvesting. Collecting. It's these simple movements that can help support the flow and function of these different organ meridian systems. Help us connect to and embody these aspects of self. Hands back to the lower dantian. Wood feeds fire. Spring becomes autumn, or summer. Told you this is the time of night that I usually start going to bed. And this movement both stimulates primarily the pericardium meridian, which is the heart protector, but it also stimulates the other inner palm, inner arm meridians and organs, the lungs, but also the heart. So if you're curious, the heart meridian starts over here and it goes down the inner arm towards the pinky, and then the pericardium starts around the heart and it comes out, and then it goes down from the inner shoulder down the inner arm, the center of it, past the center of your wrist, center of your palm to the middle fingertip. So this one, you really want to focus and bring intention to these inner arm lengths from the pinkies to the middle fingertips. This one is great to do sitting as well. It's a simple form for lengthening and activating the pericardium and the heart. So the form goes like this. The arms rise, palms up, breathing in. Turn the palms down, breathing out, cross the arms. At the wrists. Pause. Inhaling, rise, arms lift. Now pause at the top, going just to where you feel it's comfortable. It might be here, it might be all the way overhead, but lengthening from the inner arms or inner shoulders to the fingers, especially the pinky and the middle fingers, and then releasing as you breathe out all the way to the sides. And back down to the starting position. That's the form. We'll repeat, breathing in, palms up, Breathing out, cross at the wrists. Doesn't matter which arm is on top. Pause. Breathing in, and an intentional length from the inner shoulders and chest all the way along the inner arms to the middle fingertips and the pinkies. And then releasing with the out breath back to the sides and down to the starting position. I'll repeat that a few times. Palms up, in breath. Palms down, crossing in front the wrists. Hands rise, lengthening the inner arms to the middle fingertips, the pinkies. And then out and down as you release. The knees can also slightly bend if you're standing, and slightly straighten as you lift. Palms up, knees slightly bend, palms turning earthward, crossing the wrists. Knees slightly lengthen as the arms ascend. Knees softly bending as the arms descend. Do three more. Breath in. Palms up, breath out, cross. Show you from the side. I'm not going to back bend my body. I'm not going to go like that. I'm just lengthening down through my tailbone, up through my crown. So there's not a back bend or arch, but it's straight up. And my spine stays more or less perpendicular throughout the movement and form. Twice more. Palms up. Breathing in. Palms cross, turning earthward. Breathing out. And then again, not to back bend the body, but to lengthen down as much as you go up, if that makes sense. Down through the tailbone and lower back lengthening. Then releasing as the arms float down, the knees can soften. Last time, breath in, palms up. Breath out, palms turning and wrists crossing. In breath. Out breath. Let the movement gradually, like a ship moors to dock, to shore, gradually letting that form complete. And then harvesting, collecting for the heart, for fire. These qualities that tend to get associated with it are in balance. There's calm. There's connection that's healthy and nourishing and warming. Steadiness, brightness. A joy that's not burning out, but a lovely contentment and joy. Hands come back to rest on the lower dantian. So fire burns down to earth. Earth is considered late summer, but it's also the transitional movement and energy between the seasons. This one is a variation of an eight brocade form. The two hands move apart for the stomach and spleen, but this is also called separating heaven and earth. The hands are shaped around an invisible sphere or a ball like this. And then one hand is above and one is below. And just play with that for a moment. One hand above, one hand below. You can do this one sitting as well. And you would just do the arm movements. And as the bottom hand lifts up, the upper palm moves down. So one hand up, one hand down, one yin, one yang, one to earth, one to sky. And then the bottom palm, fingers turn out, and you're turning a little bit from your waist to look at that bottom palm. So there's a twist. The top palm gently rises toward the sky. As you breathe in, you turn back to center, and now the bottom palm holds the bottom of the ball, the top palm holds the top of the ball, and then they're going to switch. So the bottom hand moves upward to sky, the bottom palm, top palm moves downward to earth, and you gently turn and look at the bottom hand. Just let the fingers go to wherever's natural for you in both hands. Then you hold the ball back at the center as you breathe in. The two hands, one top, one bottom. And then the bottom hand ascends, the top hand descends, and you're spinning the hands gently in a natural way, looking down at your bottom hand, turning towards that hand. Inhalation, your two hands come back to hold a ball. In this case, one above, one below. And then they switch. One goes up, one goes down. You gently turn and look at that bottom hand. Breathing in, you return back towards your center, holding the ball. Breathing out, you switch the hands, looking at your bottom hand, lifting the top. Back to center, breathing in. Hold the ball. Lifting one up, one down. Look at the bottom down hand, turning a little bit. Couple more. Both hands journey back towards center, holding the ball. The bottom hand rises, the top hand lowers. You turn. And then one more time, hands back in, holding the ball. Turning, looking at the bottom hand as the top hand ascends. Bring the hands back in, one above, one below. Earth is about staying centered, balancing oppositional forces, finding the ease and balance in transitional times of life or phases or energies. Sensing the center as you hold your ball. And what center represents for you, what this form might have, just in the short time you've done it, maybe offered you that you can collect, gather, and fill as support to your center. It affects the stomach and the spleen, or related to stomach and spleen energies. You're about digesting, transforming. Metabolizing. Bringing the hands back into rest at center. And having done a form that supports each of our organ meridian systems, each of the energies and phases. In a sense, the form of body, whether it's agitated or flat, the energies? Do they feel clear or dull? And we'll do what's called the closing form for peaceful qi. We'll gather the qualities of practice that orientate towards the peaceful flow of vitality, one that is more in balance or in harmony with nature. And fill this into your form that is also an expression of the natural energies. As you fill in, may this energy bring peace and well-being, health and steadiness to your body, your form, your heart. And by extension, peace, well-being, steadiness, and health to all life. And rest the hands back to your center. And sometimes, as some of you may know, I finish with a series of bows, and there are a number of you with a camera on, and it's really lovely to see you. And if you'd like to see some of the others here, our first bow is to each other. So you might want to switch your view to gallery view for a moment and just see the others who've shared your practice, or some of them, some of us. And you make a fist with your dominant hand, and your other hand folds over the fist. And our first bow of three is to each other, our Sangha. Second bow to our teachers, whoever they may be in our past, our present, our future. And third, final bow is to yourself. And when you bow to yourself, you also bow to those who've given you life. Parents, grandparents, ancestors, one, two, three, four, hundreds or thousands of generations back, perhaps as far back as to the source that is one. Oh, thank you for sharing some movement, some energy and intention practices just now, for being patient with my nighttime energy and my hair doing what it wants to do. I appreciate your understanding. And yeah, it's just really nice to share some settling of the form practices with the community. And what I'd like to do is just speak for a very short time on a couple of things that might orientate you in terms of the relationship that I've found between practices that support our settling of energy and the ever elusive way in which our heart moves and the unpredictable energies of our hearts. And I chose, as I mentioned, the word form, because when we hear the word body, for me, it can. I can jump into this idea of a body that's somehow separate from an eternal soul or my mind. I inherit what many of us may have also inherited, which is a more dualistic Cartesian way of seeing body and soul as separate. But in both the Buddhist and the Taoist traditions, the body in Buddhism, it's rupa. In Chinese, it's xing. And they point to a very distinct changeability of body, that it's not something fixed, not the biomedical understandings that we tend to associate with the form, the physicality of body. In Buddhism, it's changeable, rupa, and it contrasts with arupa, formless, right? Something that comes in and has a definitive kind of sense of existence. A shape is rupa, form. But then there's also teachings that point to like a formlessness, right? The absence of something actual and tangible. There's a lot I could say about that. You know, we do a lot of meditation practices that start in the form of body, right? To sense and to listen to and attune to the ways in which body shows up and feelings, emotions even kind of come in and inhabit our bodies with a certain grip, a flavor, a tension, a looseness, a spaciousness. And you know, it sometimes gets overridden by meditation seeming to be kind of a mind thing, right? But this real invitation to turn our attention to the form. And then in the Chinese traditions of Taoism, form, xing, is also pointing to energies, flow, the meridian systems, the organ meridian systems, which are associated with energies, water, fire, earth, metal, and wood, which are then also associated with seasons and directions and aspects of yin or yang. And those, in turn, you know, point to what is used in and often referred to as the cosmic sense of self. And that may lose you, right? People are like, oh no, she's talking about cosmos, universe. Or it may get you. But when I say cosmos, all I mean is it's carbon, hydrogen, oxygen, sunlight, moonlight, the stars. That's cosmos, right? And it's pointing to our makeup and our constitution and our being as the same as everything in the universe, right? That's the form of our body. But so often our mind, thinking data mind, hijacks that connectedness and that relationship. And body is a little neglected, mind is dominant, and bodies, meanwhile, the form of bodies, energies are running. And sometimes the running exhausts it, or sometimes it depletes, or, it agitates and makes it restless. Right? So to really focus on and give attention to, oh, what are the energies like in the body, in the form of body? How can I attend to these? Right? They really give us a different entryway into embodiment. Oh, how do I sense the fire qualities within me, or the ways in which wood and its representations in nature? You know, there's an inquiry process that maybe you could explore into, how am I actually like a tree? You know, what are my roots like? What is my photosynthesis like? What is my exchange of oxygen and carbon dioxide? What are my mycelium networks like? Okay. Or how am I in relationship to metal, which are mountains, precious gemstones? I mean, this is metal, right? This is my phone. This is all rock and mineral, pretty much. What's my relationship to that like? We are so much a composite of mineral. But then you can also look to the mountains of the body. Like the Taoists also saw a form of body as landscape. The mountains are our spine, right? The waterways, the blood and the qi and the meridians. You know, very much different kind of ways in which we might associate, oh, metal energy in my body. Yeah. Yes, the Buddha did talk about meditating the four elements. Yeah, for sure. There's a lot of overlap and a very distinctive ontological sense of self that the Buddha put forward, which is no self, that the energies are changing of our elemental constitutions. And there's a very similar sense in the Taoist traditions, but the ways in which one just perceives and senses and understands the relationship to landscape in the Buddhist tradition arose out of India, and in Taoism, it arose out of China. And they do have distinctions as well. Their overall goals may share similar territory or direction, and they walk a lot of similar territory in how they get to these goals, but just, you know, there's also a lot of distinctions between them. But anyway, form of body, settling the form, right? When the energies are really agitated or they're very flat and dull and listless and unresponsive, like we're just burnt out, right? Or we're just overcaffeinated. When they're in those states, then heart, right? Heart is chitta. In Chinese, it's xin. And in Chinese, xin is the physical heart, xin, but also the heart mind. Chitta is the heart mind, but there's also hadaya, the physical heart that's referenced, but it's the home of chitta, right? And it serves a spiritual as well as physical role. But when the heart is responding to and taking in the experiences that it does, and the body is a little more settled, oh, the energies also feed into the heart. And then the heart's ability to discern or to respond or to orientate towards a certain direction are affected. If the body is calm, likewise, if the body in the form of the energies in the body are restless and agitated, that will also affect the capabilities of heart as it's meeting experience. So when the body's energies are more calm, settled, right? The form, settled form, then the heart steadies. Likewise, when the heart is steadying, the form can steady. The two go very, very in complementary ways. We can't just focus on one and overlook the other. But if we work with both, like the wisdom of discernment, of insight, of wit, of inquiry and deeper investigation that heart mind has as this incredible opportunity, right, to really listen to experience and respond to experience from a heart that is willing and open and curious about, goodwill over ill will. About compassionate response versus disdainful response or bitter response. Then, can we support, through the heart, a more relaxed form and energy? And can we also support the energy of the form and body as the heart is trying to navigate these different roles and opportunities to respond? The heart is sometimes thought of as the monarch or the conductor of the body, the emperor or empress. But I was thinking, if it's a conductor, and say you just were like, oh, you got to get the music more in tune, but the orchestra is filled with burnt out or frazzled and not very musically gifted players. What's going to happen if you tell the conductor, improve your piece? Well, not much progress maybe, but if you give the orchestra the training, the support, the foundations to play each of their individual contributions to a piece, then the conductor says, okay, let's do this, and everyone's on board. So you kind of have to have both working side by side. Yeah, and when we have both, there's an opportunity to, for when the body is a little bit more, in my experience, right, and the body is a little bit more attuned to, like when Qigong, for example, really helps me sense into, oh, what's happening right now in my body beyond just a mental top-down scan. It's actually from my energies up. My heart is actually, in a lot of neuroscience, it's proving that the heart is actually sending far more neurological information up to the brain than the brain is down to the heart. It's 60% nervous tissue, the heart. But when I really can shift from, oh, thinking to, oh, sensing. A lot of more opportunities for more skillful responses arise. I was I had my brother here recently, and I was really surprised. He was sharing some quite vulnerable things, and at one point he shared something that was happening with him more often physically. And being in my profession and my love of health and well-being, I could hear my little sister voice thinking, "But you could do this and you could do that. Well, why didn't have you tried this?" And we were driving, and I could like, there it goes. And I just sensed into my body. I was like, "Oh, there's that nervous tendency of fix." And I thought, and I felt, I said, instead of fix, what would it be like just to listen and then respond from there? And the response that came from just settling back into my body, quieting those tendencies of little sister mind, said compassion. And I listened to him, and he said, and I was like, "Oh, that sounds really rough." And he softened, and we had a really nice conversation just about his experience rather than me giving him unsolicited advice. And I thank my players in my body. I'm like, oh, they were, I could draw on that settled quality to help my heart in that moment. Simple illustration and example maybe, but I find the sibling and family dynamics are sometimes the hardest to shift. So those are some thoughts that I thought might, and some contemplations that I thought might be of value to you. The importance, I think, of having embodied practices, of caring for the shifting energies. Sensing the agitated states in body, sensing the times that things are a little more flat out, having some tools to res and resources to attend to and care for and nurture, so that the body comes back into balance. It's not fixing anything. It's actually Qigong and all of the Chinese medical traditions are about helping the body come back into balance, so that the body then in balance knows the best response, can support the heart in its wisest and most compassionate experience and interactions and wisdom. So thank you for the notes, which I will definitely go back and read and take in. We have a little bit of time now for just a few questions or comments and thoughts. If anyone has something they'd like to ask, you can raise your hand in the raise hand icon button. Or there's been a lot of comments and questions. There was one early on about sinuses. Just generally, I'd like to say Qigong is very much a practice of preventative medicine. Right. What I was just saying now, it helps the body come into balance so that the body knows what to do in response to a pathogen or a difficult situation or allergies that come in and affect our sinuses. Right? So, a mix of practices that just help support the fundamental capacity for homeostasis in the body, just like the way that if we get a cut, it heals, right? That's what the body knows how to do. We just need to give it the conditions and open up some possibilities for it to do that. Yeah. Wendy, yeah. Hello, you can unmute yourself.
Okay, I actually just had a question about at the very, very beginning. You mentioned there was a daily meditation by the organization that you're at. Now, how do I access that?
Sangha Live's website has I think it's called the Daily. It's on their website. Maybe Marnie can send you a direct link.
Oh, that would be wonderful. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Indy.
Everything else about today, I absolutely loved, 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 loved.
Thank you. I'm glad you did.
Completely.
I enjoyed it too, despite all the little like hiccups of,
Oh, that makes you human. I could relate to
my
that.
cat, my hair,
That
losing
makes it
count.
perfect. No, that makes it perfect. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Indy.
I did just load in the chat, and I'll stay on after if people don't, if they want to stay present. But there is your personal website link, but also on our website, if you look up teachers and you look up Mimi, all of her teachings with Sangha Live previously are in a Dharma library on your teaching page with us. And so they could access all the courses that you've already taught with us, which is really lovely.
Thank you, Marnie. Okay, I see Lawrence here. Hey, Lawrence, would you like to ask a question or comment or share something?
That was wonderful. I don't know if it's because you're slightly asleep, but you had the most soothed. It was so soothing. So thank you very much. And I have one question, but first I have to say I was just listening to a lecture by Philip Moffat, and he was talking about taking the three renunciations, not judging, not preparing, and not fixing. So when you t we're talking about not fixing your brother, I thought, ah,
Yeah,
where?
it's a hard one for a lot of us, isn't it?
Yes.
We want to help. I mean, it's out of a, it's coming usually from a very, sincere and good intentioned place, but often it's best if someone seeks the help first or would like the input.
It's sort of like a different side of mudita, like
Beautiful.
not owning. Because when you're fixing, you're becoming central in the same way having joy for another apart from you, just joy for them. So anyway, I just wanted to say, and I have to think about it more. I was feel during the first part, I was sitting and doing sitting meditation while you were doing the Qigong. And I was simultaneously feeling it energetically and also like just, oh, because I have indigestion and it's so soothing to touch my stomach. My stomach was settling. And also, there was something because I was doing it eyes closed. I was finding the proprioceptive quality of the movement very anchoring. Like, so would, do you want to say something about just using movement apart from the energy, the proprioceptive? Just of doing any sort of slight movement in the same way as feeling the breath or the movement of the breath, it just seems like you can do some subtle movements as an anchor.
So I would say is with Qigong, intention plays a very, very strong role, and intention moves the energy in the qi. So even if the movement is very subtle and small, or even if you were just sitting in meditation, but sensing into the interoceptive sense as well, right? The inner field that moves the energy in Qigong.
What is the relationship, though, of how do you see proprioception?
Well, proprioception is a sense of how we move our body through space, right?
Yeah,
And
if I close my eyes and touch my nose, how I know, how I know, how I know.
I think yeah, if your eyes were closed and you're doing that, there's still this just a sense of connectivity and of yeah. I'm not quite sure what your question is. Is it in relationship to Qigong proprioception or proprioceptive sense is
Well, in meditation, we talk a lot about anchors, starting with the breath. So I think the Qigong for me was working on several simultaneous levels.
Yeah.
Energy, the soothingness of touch, and also that proprioception was like engaging another aspect of my brain. So that I was just so anchored to my, when you said this is very embodying, it was like, yeah, this is so embodying.
I would just explore and be curious about that experience for yourself. But I think that the underlying orientation of embodiment in both, I'll speak particularly for the Taoist tradition, but I think also with the Buddhist tradition, is to not see oneself as separate. Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Interconnected. Thank you. Okay, so Emma, I think we have one time for one more question. Yeah. Hi, Emma.
Mute. Can you hear me?
I can.
Hi. I'm a big fan. I've been following you for years, so this has been a pleasure. Thank you.
Oh, thank you.
I took notes and a couple of the elements you talked briefly, like with wood, you said stable, flexibility, earth, staying centered. And I might have missed the one for water, lung, and fire, but if you have like a little
For
quick.
Water, I didn't mention it probably. I spoke most about the kidneys and the bones, but water is about a deep inner strength and a tenacity. A willingness, not willfulness, but purpose that is very quiet but powerful, like the way that water carves canyons and takes jagged rocks and polishes them to smooth stone. For fire, it would be connection, right? The sense of warmth and radiance that is steady and calm, not passionate and burning out, but creating good connection and a real sense of warmth and consciousness, like a yeah. And then for lungs, it's a sense of dignity and courage in balance, yeah, and refinement of energy, refinement of experience.
Dignity, courage, and refinement.
Like seeing what's of true value and being
Which is,
willing to also release and let go.
Right. I was thinking that as the fall lets go, we see
the colors. Yeah.
The colors, and then we see the tree when the leaves are gone. We see the refinement. Thank you.
You're very welcome. Okay, so maybe one more. Zara? Hey, Zara.
Hey, nice to be back. I just wanted to mention something earlier. You were talking about the connection between us and like plants and how they have pores. It's totally reminded me of something I heard earlier in, might have been something else also that you said earlier in yoga class today, which was a book mention about someone by the name of Peter Levine.
Peter
And
Levine.
He's large cats, and when they encountered a traumatizing situation, they would engage in this dramatic behavior, shaking. And I was just thinking, like, how can we can link to that as well here?
There's a shaking practice called wild horse shaking in Qigong.
I love that. Yes.
Thank you, Zara. Nice to have you on. All right. Let's see, we have a minute. Maybe Tara, if you want to have a share.
Thank you. I've been practicing Qigong with different masters online, Thich Nhat Hanh and a few. But someone brought me, I've done a few of yours, the YouTubes, and I'm 84. I felt it's really... I have several problems with hips from an injury, and now I have an irregular heartbeat. And I'm wondering, a friend sent me your book for a birthday present, and working with you online has taken me to much deeper levels. But I do a half hour practice, maybe three quarters, and a final relaxation, a yoga nidra every morning. But I'm wondering what a sort of rounded practice that I should be doing for my condition without pushing myself too far.
You know what? I don't know if I'm overstepping my position or place, because you are my elder and you are 84 years old and you have a lot more life experience than my 53-year-old self. And if I am blessed and fortunate to live to your age and be as vibrant and clear and healthy as you seem to be, despite the niggles and problems and heart conditions and whatnot that inevitably come with getting older, I would feel grateful, and I would just maybe encourage joy, enjoy it, have fun. You've done enough in your life. It's time to just enjoy and relax and have a good time with Qigong. How does that
yeah,
feel?
I loved your flying dragon and your swimming dragon. Yeah.
Have a good time with it. Yeah, play.
Okay.
That's the best
Thank you.
The best use of time.